Or if it's not inside, where has it gone? And is it coming back anytime soon?
Good questions. But you're missing something too, Investigator. The force screen is down, and the walls are broken in so many places they might as well not be there. So why hasn't the whole base gone up in flames along with everything else on this infernal planet?
Only one way to find out.
And Silence didn't need to see to know that she was smiling.
Well, either way, Investigator. But remember, answers, not bodies.
Of course, Captain, of course.
Frost moved past Cross and strode forward into the open doors. Silence moved after her, with Cross's hand on his shoulder, and the Marines and Stelmach followed. The security officer was being very quiet, but Silence doubted that would last long once they got inside. A place like this was bound to be full of sensitive material that lowly captains and lesser ranks weren't supposed to know about. But Silence didn't give a damn. If there were answers here, he was going to find them, no matter where he had to look. He stepped carefully through the gaping doors, his gaze sweeping back and forth, but everything seemed quiet. It was dark, and Silence turned on his suit's exterior lights, mounted on his shoulders. More light pushed back the darkness as the rest of the away team turned on their lights, and the foyer slowly formed around them. The first thing Silence noticed was that it was raining. It took him a moment to realize that it was the sprinkler system, still somehow operating, except the water should have evaporated in this heat. He checked the exterior temperature from his suit's sensors, and the figure appeared immediately, low down on the inside of his helmet. It was only a few degrees above standard temperature, despite the broken walls and open doors, which should be impossible. With the screen down and the walls breached, there was no way the base could be maintaining a standard temperature.
Investigator, check your sensors. What temperature do you have?
Same as you, Captain. Standard, near as damn it. I'd swear there was an energy screen still protecting us, but nothing registers on my sensors. What we do have here is standard gravity and a breathable atmosphere, but don't ask me what's maintaining them. We could survive here without our suits if we had to.
Don't even think it. Don't even take your helmet off. Since we don't know what's maintaining these conditions, we can't be sure they won't cut off at any moment. Also, I want full quarantine procedures followed. Suit integrity is to be preserved at all times. Is that clear, everyone?
Quick affirmatives came back to him from the rest of the team. Frost just grunted, but that was to be expected. Silence glared about the deserted foyer.
Marines, move out and set up a defensive perimeter. Investigator, don't wander too far away just yet. Stelmach, don't touch anything. Cross, you've been here before. First impressions?
The place is a mess. Whoever came through here really wrecked the place. I can't tell anything from this.
Silence had to agree that the communications officer had a point. The foyer looked as though a grenade had gone off in it. Maybe several grenades. Furniture had been overturned and scattered everywhere, much of it wrecked or reduced to little more than kindling. The main reception desk, a huge slab of ironwood, had collapsed in the middle, as though something extremely heavy had sat on it. None of its built-in instruments were functioning. There was no trace of life anywhere. There were wide cracks in the walls through which could be seen the hellish glow of the fires outside. But strangely, the bronze light didn't penetrate far into the darkness. The sprinkler rain had touched and soaked everything, forming pools and little lakes here and there.
No blood and no bodies.
Frost was at the far end of the foyer.
But somebody put up a fight. There's damage to the walls and ceiling from discharged energy weapons. No sign they actually hit anything, though.
Silence looked up at the jagged holes in the ceiling. Trust Frost to spot something everyone else would have missed.
Why the ceiling?
Said Stelmach suddenly.
How big were their attackers?
Let's try and keep an open mind. We don't have any hard evidence yet that there were any attackers. This could turn out to be just another really bad case of cabin fever. Unlikely, I'll admit, but we have to consider all possibilities. Frost, run an energy scan on these disruptor holes. See how old they are. Stelmach, see if you can find a working terminal somewhere in this mess that'll let you access the base computers. The commander's log might give us a few clues. And Cross, how come the sprinklers are still working? Surely they should have run out of water long ago.
The sprinkler systems feed off the underground lake. It's a long way down, but there are millions of gallons down there. It could rain forever in here, on a planet of eternal fires. It's like a miracle.
Don't start getting religious on us. I'd hate to have to puke inside this helmet.
Over here,
Stomach said suddenly.
I found someone. Stay put. Don't touch anything. Investigator, check it out.
The security officer was crouching beside the collapsed main desk. Frost moved quickly in beside him and studied the situation for a long moment.
It's a hand, Captain. Human. Unprotected. No obvious booby traps attached, according to my sensors. Help me move the desk, Stelmach.
They moved awkwardly around the desk in their clumsy suits, and Cross and Silence moved forward to help them. A pale, colorless hand protruded from under one side of the desk. Working together, the four of them used the power of their suits' servo mechanisms to lift the massive ironwood desk and put it carefully to one side. And then they all stopped and looked at what they'd uncovered. It had been a woman once, but most of her was missing. The bones were still there, piled loosely together, but picked so clean of flesh, they seemed almost polished. The only flesh left was on the face and part of the arm attached to the hand they'd found. Most of her long hair was still there, but something had cracked open the back of the skull and removed the brains. Sprinkler water pattered down on the head and ran down the staring face like tears.
Picked clean. And judging by the ragged end of the remaining arm, I'd have to say this was brought about by teeth rather than any blade or sharp instrument. Same with the back of the skull. Brute force did that, not a cutting tool. I wonder why they left the face and the arm.
Perhaps it or they were interrupted.
What could have done this?
Stomach's voice was thick with nausea.
What kind of creature?
Move away and take some deep breaths. Vomiting inside a hard suit is not a good idea.
I'm all right. I can handle it.
It was a good question. What kind of creature would feed like this?
Practically anything if it was hungry enough. The thoroughness is interesting, though. They didn't just go for the fat and the muscle. They took everything. That's unusual. More commonly, different species feed off different parts of the body. Maybe the attackers killed her first, and then something else came along afterward and fed off the body.
There are no living things anywhere on this planet, unless the attackers brought something with them.
Still think this was cabin fever, Captain?
I'm not ruling anything out yet. This is looking more and more like an alien attack, I agree. But we still have no hard evidence that anything other than humans were ever here. Remember, the Haydenmen are loose again, and there's always Shub and its furies. Investigator, could the tissues taken from this body have been intended for study rather than food?
Quite possibly, Captain. It would explain the thoroughness.
This can wait. I want this whole base checked out, floor by floor. There'll be time for questions and hypotheses after we're sure this place is secure.
Silence gestured sharply to the Marines. With Frost in the lead, the party moved on, deeper into the base, weapons at the ready. Things grew worse the further in they got. There was destruction everywhere, and more partial bodies. Doors had been torn out of door frames, holes punched through walls, instruments wrecked, the pieces scattered to no apparent purpose or pattern. Every room had been torn apart and wrecked, but nothing obvious had been taken. The number of bodies mounted steadily. The amount consumed or taken varied, but the heads were always left intact, apart from the brains, leaving so many silently screaming faces. Silence felt a slow core of cold anger building within him. This wasn't an attack. It was a slaughter. And he swore silently to every new dead face that he would take a bloody revenge for them all. Frost just seemed increasingly interested, but she was an investigator after all. Cross said very little except to comment on the increasing destruction and identify the occasional face in a choked voice. Stelmach had nothing to say but kept very close to the others. The six Marines maintained their defensive perimeter, checking every open doorway and turn of the corridor with trained weapons. Tension built inexorably as the away team moved on through the darkness, their only light what they had brought with them. Shadows loomed and danced. The only sound was the dull thuds of steel boots on the floor, and their own increasingly harsh breathing. No one felt like talking much. There was still no trace of any actual alien, but broken swords lay discarded here and there, shattered on something harder than steel. And there was more damage to walls and floor and ceiling from discharged energy weapons. Here and there, great holes had been punched through the thick steel walls, as though by some incredible force. Silence couldn't have done it, even with all the strength of his powered armor. The last creature he'd seen capable of such a feat had been the genetically engineered aliens he'd discovered sleeping in the vaults on Grendel. The thought disturbed him, so he kept it to himself for later. And everywhere they went, the water came down in an endless rain, as though trying to wash away what had happened. On the second floor, Frost stopped suddenly and knelt down, shining her lights onto something on the floor. The others crowded around her, adding their lights to hers. The investigators studied the pool of dark liquid thoughtfully, and then stirred it slowly with a steel finger. It was a thick, sticky liquid that tried to cling to her finger when she pulled it away. She had to shake her hand hard to get it free.
What is it, Investigator?
Too early to say, Captain. I've seen smaller splashes of it here and there, but with nothing to suggest what it is or where it came from. But it looks organic.
Alien blood?
Maybe. I'll take some samples, and the Dauntless Labs can run tests on it.
Follow full quarantine procedures, just in case.
Of course, Captain.
Of course. She knows what she's doing. Let her get on with her job. Silence took a deep breath and let it out slowly as he straightened up. He looked about him and scowled inside the safety of his helm. It wouldn't do any good for the others to see how frustrated he was getting. They'd ended up in one of the main control centers on the second floor, and it was even more of a mess than anywhere else, if that was possible. Most of the instrumentation had been ripped out of its settings and partially dismantled, as though the dismantlers had never seen anything like it before. Perhaps they hadn't. Not for the first time, Silence remembered the alien ship he and Frost had found crash-landed on Unseelie, with its strange and unnatural biomechanical systems. A ship that had been grown as much as made. The single alien from that ship had killed every human being in Unseelie Space 7 and transformed the base itself in horrid alien ways. Hopefully, that wasn't what they had here. The signs were different.
Stelmon, try and find a computer terminal you can access. I need the commander's log.
I'm doing my best, Captain. There are some working systems still online, but reaching them's the problem. Whatever came through here really trashed the place.
I want results, not excuses, Silence nearly snapped, but kept it to himself.
Do your best, Stelmach. We won't leave here till you've exhausted every possibility.
He looked around as Cross came over to join him.
Anything new?
Not exactly, Captain. There's something wrong here, apart from the obvious. There aren't enough bodies.
Explain.
Given the size of the contingent running this base, we should have encountered far more bodies than we have. Unless they're all piled up somewhere we haven't found yet, I'd have to say as many as 70 to 80% of the base personnel are missing. Which suggests to me that the invaders may have taken the surviving personnel with them when they left.
As hostages?
Or specimens.
But there is a chance they could still be alive?
Unknown, Captain. They could have been taken to the alien craft for study.
And that was an interesting choice of word, Silence thought unhappily. It could mean anything from observation to vivisection. Either way, it was a complication Silence could have done without. He came to Gehenna to investigate what had happened at its base, not go chasing blindly off after missing personnel. But he couldn't just ignore them. Not if there was a chance, however small, that some of them might still be alive. He scowled, torn over what to do for the best. His duty was clear. Discovering what had happened in the base had to have top priority. Whatever had trashed the base so thoroughly could be a threat to the Empire itself, just at the time when the last thing it needed was another threat. But he couldn't abandon people to death, or worse. He couldn't. He made himself stop frowning. His head was beginning to ache again. Facts. He needed hard facts to help him make his decision.
Stelmach.
All right. I think I've got something.
Silence and Frost moved over to join Stelmach and Cross beside a comm panel that didn't look quite as wrecked as the others. It still looked pretty bad, and from the way Stelmach and Cross were fiddling about with its innards, there was clearly still a lot wrong with it.
Bear with us for a moment, Captain.
Stelmach didn't look up from what he was doing.
I've cobbled together parts from a dozen panels, and if we're very lucky, it might just condescend to work for us.
I helped.
All right. I was going to tell them. This man's wasted in communications, Captain. He knows more about the inside of Comtech than I do, and I thought I knew everything. Ever thought about a career in security work, Cross?
Save the recruiting speeches for later. What have you got?
If we're extremely lucky, access to the security systems. There are surveillance cameras throughout the base, and their files are kept separate from the rest, hidden away for obvious reasons. Apparently the aliens didn't dig deep enough to find them.
Yeah, right. That sounds like security.
You better hope I'm right, Captain. Whatever happened here, it's over. The attackers are long gone. These security files could be the only records of what actually happened here.
We'll applaud later. Get on with it.
Stelmach sniffed loudly just to let them know his feelings were hurt, and then he and Cross made the last few connections. The information in the security files downloaded directly through their comm implants so that visions from the past played directly on the inside of their helmets. They were patchy and incomplete, flashes of sight and sound, a swift succession of scenes from throughout the base. But taken together, the story they told was clear enough of what happened the day the aliens came to Gehenna Base. They were insects of all shapes and sizes, spiders and bugs and praying mantises and yard-long centipedes, scuttling and crawling in an endless tide. They varied in size from less than an inch to bigger than human, and everything in between. Horrid combinations of dull carapaces and shimmering wings, too many legs and eyes, and all of them moving incredibly quickly in sudden darting movements. They snapped and stung and tore at human victims with clawed limbs. Some had clacking mandibles big and strong enough to rip a man's head from his shoulders with an ease that was almost obscene. Silence's skin crawled with instinctive reaction. There was something awful and unnatural about insects that big, that organized. He watched with mounting horror as the insects swarmed through the base, crawling over all the surfaces, running along the walls and ceiling, jumping up and dropping down on the base personnel, biting and tearing without pause or mercy. Blood splashed everywhere, and the smaller insects licked it up. Disruptors and cold steel took their toll on the invaders, but there were so many insects, thousands of them, and they never stopped coming. And men and women died from poisoned bites and stings, or lay shuddering on the floor while smaller insects burrowed in their flesh. Huge bugs like living armor tore human limbs away with horrid ease and waved them like dripping banners. People screamed and fought and died, and still the insects pressed on.
Interesting. I've never seen so many apparently different and unconnected species acting together. Could be a mass consciousness, a gestalt or group mind. Or maybe they're all drones following orders from some hidden and protected queen. I can't be more certain without specimens to examine. But I'll tell you one thing for sure, Captain. Those big bugs aren't natural. Insects don't get that large. Body structure won't allow it. Which implies they were genetically engineered, constructed, and adapted for various functions. Maybe all of them were. Which in turn suggests a level of biotechnology well in advance of anything we have.
How can you be so calm? Those bastards slaughtered men and women and tore them apart. And you sound as though this was nothing more than a training session.
All part of the job.
Damn you! Those were real men and women!
She knows that. But she's an investigator. She's seen worse. Now be quiet and watch the records.
I think this new file shows the beginning. It's the last intact one.
The base's forescreen shut down suddenly, for no reason anyone in the base could understand. Which was supposed to be impossible. The personnel weren't too worried at first. The base had been designed to protect them from the heat of the fires, even without the screen. And then the insects came, cracking the base open like an eggshell, to get at the unprotected flesh within. The base called for help with increasing desperation, but the comm systems were useless. Jammed. Which was also supposed to be impossible. Finally, one by one, the cameras stopped recording as the insects discovered and destroyed them. And after that, there was only darkness. The control room surroundings reappeared on the insides of everyone's helmets as the security file came to an end, and they all stood quietly for a long moment.
There was a pattern to the invasion. The larger insects broke things, the medium range attacked people and investigated human tech, and the smaller ones cleaned up after them, sucking up blood, carrying away machinery, and eating the fallen, whether human or insect.
Silence closed his eyes, but he could still see the images of men and women screaming, struggling helplessly, or crying out for help that never came. He was glad he'd seen only glimpses of the carnage. He didn't think he could have stood seeing the horror of it in real time. He opened his eyes and breathed deeply to clear his head. He had to be cool and centered if he was to have his revenge on the bugs.
They were specialized by function.
Frost was still speaking, and Silence made himself pay attention.
Designed for specific purposes. But what did they want here?
What aliens always want, to destroy humanity.
Silence swallowed hard, his mouth dry.
It isn't usually that simple, Stelmach. We know what happened here, but not why. And without the why, we can't hope to predict what they'll do next. They could be anywhere inside the Empire by now. There has to be a reason for all this destruction and slaughter. Investigator, you said the insects appear to have been designed for specific tasks in this assault. That implies there was an aim to be achieved, an end to be reached?
Yes, almost certainly. I get the impression they were after information as much as anything. They certainly seemed to pay special attention to the computer records. People were mostly killed or attacked when they got in the way or tried to interfere with the search. I think they were looking for something.
What could they have wanted here? Gehenna's the farthest planet in this sector of the Empire. There's nothing beyond here but the Dark Void.
And they couldn't have come this far through the Empire without being noticed. So they must have come from outside the Empire.
Nothing lives in the Dark Void, apart from the traitors on Hayden.
Then maybe they came from the other side of the Dark Void. And this was the first human outpost they discovered. But why just attack? We always try to communicate first, if only to find out what we're getting into. Did the base have something the aliens wanted? Something they knew the base personnel wouldn't give up voluntarily?
I think we're reaching a bit here.
Of course we are. It's all we've got. Now, unless you've got something useful to say, shut the hell up. We're thinking. So they took tech apart, killed people in search of something. Information. What did they want to know that we wouldn't tell them?
Weaknesses. Defense stations, weaponry, secrets.
The location of Homeworld. Destroy Golgotha and the whole Empire would be crippled.
A shudder ran through Silence as his thoughts raced ahead of him.
You thought this was a trap, Investigator, but it isn't. It's a decoy intended to keep us occupied here while the aliens head for Golgotha. Heads up, everyone. We're leaving.
Oh, come on. This is really reaching.
No. It feels right. It's what I'd do.
But what about the missing personnel? What if they're being kept somewhere here on Gehenna? If we go chasing off after a theory, they could die here. What if we're wrong about this?
Then we're wrong. Now shut up and move. Homeworld must be protected at all costs. No wonder you keep being transferred, Cross. You talk too much.
We are leaving, people. Investigator, lead the way. Cross and Stelmach, stick with me. Marines, bring up the rear. If anything moves, shoot it. We don't have any friends here anymore.
And so they made their way back out of the base, breasting the endless sprinkler rain like swimmers in a race. It was hard to run in the heavy, clumsy hard suits, but they did it anyway. There was no telling what kind of advance the aliens had on them. The attack on the base couldn't have happened long ago. What was left of the human bodies hadn't had time to corrupt much. That meant a few days at most. So everything depended now on what kind of star drive the alien ship had, and whether it was the equal of the Dauntless's new drive. The Dauntless was supposed to be the fastest thing in the Empire, but Silence and Frost knew something the others didn't. The amazing new star drive was based on a drive Silence and Frost found, in the alien ship crash-landed on the planet Unseelie, which meant there was no telling how fast the new alien ship might be, especially one that had apparently crossed the dark void from one side to the other, something no Empire ship had ever dared attempt. Usually, the Empire found aliens and made decisions about their future. The aliens could join the Empire, be subjugated, or die. No other choices were available. This time, something had found the Empire. And all Silence could do was hope the Dauntless got back to Golgotha in time to give a warning. Before the aliens arrived, and started making decisions about humanity. The Dauntless dropped out of hyperspace and plunged into orbit around Golgotha. All weapon systems charged and ready, and immediately began broadcasting warnings on all channels. Sensors raked the darkness for signs of the alien ship, and only then discovered that the homeworld's defenses were in a complete shambles. The Dauntless homed in on the main starport, only to find everyone was shouting at everyone else, and no one was listening. Cross ran through all the comm channels, but the chaos had spread even to the most restricted emergency channels.
What the hell is going on down there? Did the alien ship beat us here?
No sign of anything on the sensors, but that's not all that's missing. There are supposed to be 6 star cruisers constantly on patrol, orbiting Golgotha, as the Empire's last line of defense. I can't find a trace of any of them.
Silence looked across at the comm station.
Cross, are our warnings getting through?
Impossible to say, Captain. The channels are such a mess that priority's a joke.
Let me try.
Stomach moved in beside Cross.
I have access to security channels that most people don't know about.
Go ahead. Frost, use the long-range sensors. Give me some pictures of what's going on down there.
Frost grunted something, preoccupied with their instruments. But after a moment, the view screen suddenly flickered into life. The starport and its landing pads had been systematically destroyed. Smoke rose up from blazing buildings, and broken starships lay scattered across the broken pads like so much shattered crockery. The steel glass control tower was cracked like a jigsaw, and everywhere fires blazed out of control. Emergency services were doing what they could, but things had obviously got out of their control long ago. There were bodies everywhere, and Silence had no doubt there were many more he couldn't see.
The alien ship got here about 6 hours ago. Launched an attack while the control tower was still trying to identify it. It blew up the ships on the pads, and then made dozens of strafing runs, raking the port and the city with energy weapons of an unfamiliar type. Force fields and screens were no protection. They either failed, or the energy weapons blew them aside. Known casualties are in the hundreds of thousands. As yet, the Empress is in no danger. She's safe in the Imperial Palace, deep below the surface. We can only hope the aliens don't know she's there.
This is insane. How could one ship have done so much damage unchallenged?
It appears the aliens got a lucky break. As far as I can make out, the Rebel Underground launched some kind of sabotage attack only a few hours before the alien ship arrived. They then made their escape on a Haydenman ship. The 6 star cruisers took off after it. Security were busy chasing their own tails trying to sort out the extent of the sabotage and got caught napping.
It wasn't security's fault. The rebels crashed nearly all of the computer defenses. We were helpless.
Forget about laying the blame and get me some information I can use. Where's the alien ship now?
On the far side of the planet. It's on its way back here. 2-3 minutes tops, depending on whether it stops to blow something else up.
What are you going to do, Captain?
Blow it to shit.
No. Normally I'd agree with you, Captain, but for now we need answers more than revenge. We have to know more about them, where they come from. If this ship really did cross the dark void to find us, who knows what else might be following them? We need prisoners to interrogate, and the ship as intact as possible, to study.
Any other restrictions you want to lay on me?
There's also the case of the missing base personnel. If they're being held on the alien ship...
Then they're expendable. I'll save them if I can, but I'm not making any promises. Same to you, Investigator. Stopping the attack comes first. Homeworld must be protected. And if it comes to blowing the alien ship apart rather than letting it escape, that ship is dead.
Understood. You'd have made a good investigator, Captain.
Thanks a whole bunch. Cross, where is it?
It's coming. Should be in visual range any time now.
Red alert. All shields up. Everyone to their battle stations. Power up all weapons and tie in fire control systems. Cross, Download our logs so far, along with any other useful information concerning the aliens and what happened at Gehenna Base, and launch the files in an emergency buoy. If anything should happen to us, the information can be retrieved later by whoever survives this mess.
It's coming. I have it in my sensors. Its speed is incredible.
Put it on the view screen.
The scene on the view screen changed to show the great glowing curve of Golgotha and the darkness and the stars beyond. One of the stars was moving rapidly toward them, jumping in size as Cross increased magnification. The alien ship finally sprang into view, and Silence leaned forward in his command chair. The alien craft appeared to be a huge ball of sickly white webbing, tied and tangled together. It reminded Silence of a wasp's nest or a cocoon. Insect imagery. The ball had no details of shape or structure, and no identifiable technology. How big is it?
About 2 miles in diameter. I'm listening on all channels, but I'm not picking up anything from the alien craft.
Sensors indicate mainly organic material. Presumably protected by some kind of force shield, but the few energy readings I'm picking up make no sense at all. No identifiable drive, or weapons, or anything, really.
Try talking to them. Maybe we can negotiate.
Unlikely. Even the best computer translators take months to produce a working language. Besides, I'd say they'd already made their intentions clear.
Damn right. I don't negotiate with butchers. Anything else on the sensors?
Getting some high energy readings as we get closer. Nothing familiar. Wait a minute. Something's happening. The energy readings are building.
Flaring energy leapt out from the alien ship, crossing the intervening miles in a moment, and crackled across the Dauntless's force shields. It seethed and hissed all over the shields, testing, searching for weak spots. Alarms went off all over the Dauntless as slowly, inexorably, the crackling energy tore through the force shields, seeped through the outer hull, and burst into the ship's interior. Blazing light leapt out of workstations on that side of the ship, incinerating crew members where they stood. More alarms sounded every minute, and fires burned unattended in a chaos of screams and shouted orders. Emergency systems were bypassed, and the energy spread.
Evacuate that section. Get out as many as you can, and then isolate the section and seal it off. Set up a series of force shields in the corridors. See if you can slow it down at least. Frost, talk to me. What is that stuff? What is it doing to my ship?
Sensors indicate pure energy, Captain. But it also has definite physical properties. Possibly some form of plasma energy in suspension, but don't quote me. It's ignoring everything we throw at it. And if these readings are to be believed, the energy has begun to infiltrate our instrumentation in that section, subverting it and taking it over.
We just lost sectors H through K. They're no longer responding to central control or auxiliary backups. Life support systems are shutting down in those sectors.
Is everyone out?
Most of them. Those that didn't get out won't last long.
Evacuate the adjoining sectors. Seal them off with as many interior force shields as we can generate. Any injured are to get themselves to the infirmary. Everyone else is to stay at their posts. Investigator, any recommendations?
Our shields won't hold back the energy for long, Captain. Defensive measures are strictly temporary. This would seem to indicate the need to take the offensive. If the alien ship has any force shields, my sensors can't find them. It's looking more and more like our best bet is to hit them with everything we've got and see what happens.
I was hoping we'd have something else we could try first. I don't like playing our main hand this early. But needs must prevail when the devil drives. Gunnery officer, target the alien ship. Hit it till its shields go down and we start inflicting actual damage. And then break off and stand by for new orders.
The Dauntless's disruptor cannons opened fire in sequence, one after another, maintaining a constant barrage of destructive power. Strange energy fields suddenly flared into being around the alien ship, shimmering fiercely. The disruptor cannon pounded away at them, but they held firm. Within the Dauntless, the strange crackling energy spread slowly but inexorably from one section to the next, infiltrating and subverting essential systems as it went. Life support was going down, sector by sector. Crew members died at their posts, or running for their lives. A workstation on the bridge exploded suddenly, throwing its operator lifeless to the floor, his clothes and hair burning fiercely. Strange energies danced on the bridge air like heat lightning. Silence yelled for people to back away from the blazing workstation, but for everyone else to hold their posts. Fires licked along one wall, hot and blazing. The disruptor cannon fired and fired, and suddenly the alien ship's fields went down.
chunks of the sickly white webbing were blown away into space. And as suddenly as that, the strange energies infesting the Dauntless disappeared. Workstations returned to normal. Emergency systems began taking care of fires. Life support was reestablished. And the attack was over. Silence ordered the disruptor cannon to break off firing, but to stand ready to resume the attack as necessary. The fires went out, the injured were helped, and the dead were dragged away. When the last alarm went off, it was eerily quiet on the bridge.